Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Israeli strikes on Nasser Hospital in Gaza this morning have killed at least 15 people, including three journalists, one of whom worked for Reuters and one who worked for Al Jazeera. Sikandar Kamani is foreign affairs correspondent with Channel 4 News and he joins me on the line now. Sikandar, this has only happened in the last little while and I know details are just coming through, but what have you heard about this attack on Nasser Hospital?
That's right, Claire. This happened this morning in Nasser Hospital in the southern city of Khan Yunis, one of the biggest still operating hospitals in the Gaza Strip. And there, it seems there was one initial strike by the Israeli forces. Journalists, rescue workers, of course, local medics then rushed to the scene. In fact, some journalists were broadcasting live from the aftermath of that initial strike when then there was a second strike that was captured on some of those live cameras targeting the top floor of the Nasser Hospital. We're now hearing that four journalists were killed in this strike, along with a number of other paramedics as well. Some of those journalists, or all of those journalists, in fact, also working with international news agencies. One of them, a woman, Mariam Abu Dhaka, was someone who was particularly well known. As you said, also, there's journalists who have been working with Reuters, Al Jazeera, NBC. You know, if you look at the figures released by the Committee for the Protection of Journalists, close to 200 have been killed in Gaza by Israel, many on occasions where they've been deliberately targeted by Israel, which has described them without evidence as members of Hamas. No comment from the Israeli military on today's strike, but of course it will be widely regarded as yet another example of a potential war crime and a breach of international humanitarian law by Israel. Press freedom campaigners have long pointed out that Gaza has been the deadliest conflict for Palestinian journalists, for any journalists, for many, many years.
And of course, we know that international journalists are not permitted to enter Gaza and haven't been since the start of this conflict. So these journalists would be local journalists who are working on contract for the international companies.
Exactly. As you say, foreign journalists like myself, prevented by Israel from entering the Gaza Strip, despite repeated requests from us and from international news organizations for us to be allowed in. So that the duty has fallen on extremely brave, extremely dedicated local Palestinian journalists who, you know, are reporting on the tragedy unfolding to their own families and before their own eyes, whilst also struggling with the same awful hardships that everyone else within Gaza is already living with. And you know, what's so, I think, shocking about this strike today is that it was, you know, what you often call a double tap strike, which is normally associated with militant groups like ISIS, where after one bomb blast, as people rush to the scene, there's a second follow-up one where it's inevitable that journalists and paramedics in particular are going to be amongst the victims, because they're the first ones to rush to the aftermath of a strike. Of course, you know, the initial strike on a hospital complex anyway would have been widely criticized as a breach of humanitarian law, because it's a hospital. As I say, though, yet no comment as yet by the Israeli military as to who, if anyone in particular, that was being targeted. I suspect there'll be some kind of statement in the coming hours, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, Israel has said previously when it attacked medical facilities, including this one, which is not the first time, as you have said, that it has been the target, saying it was targeting Hamas militants. But we know their focus has been over the last couple of days, Gaza City, their intention to take Gaza City. They were in the outskirts before the weekend. They were urging people to leave. But it seems that the bombardment is continuing across the Strip, Sikandar.
Absolutely. I mean, as you say, the focus of the Israeli military action is not on the south where this hospital was, but in the north, Gaza City, still home to around a million people, many of whom have been displaced on multiple occasions. It's also where, you know, according to UN-backed experts, famine is currently taking place. And there's been continuous heavy bombardment of a number of districts in Gaza City. You know, the daily death toll in Gaza is around 50, 60 people at least every single day killed by Israel and people in Gaza City in a number of neighborhoods, for Al Sabra, Zaytun, for example, in the south and southeastern parts of the city are reporting continuous artillery shelling, airstrikes, also the use of robots carrying explosives to carry out large demolitions. As of yet, we haven't seen Israeli soldiers push into the heart of the city. That is something that everyone fears will be happening in the coming weeks. You know, I think there had been a line of thought that perhaps this Israeli suggestion that they were going to be invading, conquering Gaza, as they Gaza City, as they've talked about, was a form of a negotiating tactic by Prime Minister Netanyahu, trying to use it as leverage over Hamas. The latest noises from Israeli officials appear to suggest actually the government is much more set on going ahead with that plan, despite even there being opposition from the Israeli army chief, reportedly, who's said to say that actually Israel should be taking the hostage deal that Hamas has recently agreed to. That's a deal that, you know, 70-80% of the Israeli public also want the government to take and move ahead with. There's going to be another day of large strikes planned in Israel tomorrow, calling on Netanyahu to change course. But as of yet, crucially, no change in tact, no change in approach and a pressure from the Trump administration, which is the one key body, that the one key group that has real leverage over Netanyahu in his decision-making process.
Sikander, thank you for joining us this morning. Sikander Kamani there, who's foreign affairs correspondent with Channel 4.